take extra precaution, parents. This is not a suitable topic for children. Fair warning, ready, steady, go. Let's go to Joshua now in Ohio with me. Welcome, Joshua.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Sure. So my question is, we have some biological categories like fatherhood, where there's also a significant social status to it. And you can revoke it by abandoning your child or abusing him. Similarly, with adulthood, we sometimes have people change categories. For example, if a kid like commits a horrible act of violence.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering why those social functions don't also apply to the categories male and female.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand correctly. So you're referring to the categories of fatherhood. And what was the second category that you used?
Well, adulthood versus juveniles. These are categories with a biological and genetic reality, but we still understand there's a social function attached, and we do have people in a society change statuses.
Okay. Now I get it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. So let's think about that for a minute. So let's say, to use you as an example, and I hope you had a wonderful relationship with your father, but let's say for the sake of discussion that you didn't. And let's say he was a terrible father and he walked away from your mom and left you abandoned and did terrible things. And you would still say, my father did those things. He's still your father. In other words, that part, that nature of the relationship between him, even if he was a scoundrel, and you as his biological offspring, that relationship doesn't change. Now, you're right. He would forfeit his standing as maybe being able to have a relationship with you, or that you would be proud of him, or that you would want to be around him. He could forfeit all of those things, but it wouldn't change the fact that he's still your father. And we would even refer to him, you know, oh, what a terrible father you had, or what a shame that your father did that crime and went to jail, et cetera, et cetera. So I would posit that as part of our discussion about this, that even though the status can change, the relationship remains the same. Why don't we pause there? What do you think about that?
Well, on a biological level, but let's say he abandoned me in the womb. My dad was great. I'm not saying any of that.
Yeah, right.
Let's say he had abandoned me in the womb, and another guy took that responsibility, then I might very well say, look, you're not my father. This other guy is. And that's not a claim about biology. I mean, I might say, like, you're my sperm donor, but you're not my father. And the law would transfer his fatherly rights to the new dad. And right. None of that is a claim about biology or genetics. That's just a claim about social function. But it does include actually changing what we refer to people as.
Right. So I see all that. I don't dispute any of that. But it would remain nonetheless that if somebody said, who is your father, like, you know, your biological father, you could say, oh, my dad is the man who so lovingly and graciously adopted me and has taken care of me. He's my dad, my father. Yes, yes, I understand that. But biologically, who is your father? You would still say, well, that guy over there in prison, this terrible person who abandoned me, he's my biological father. So you wouldn't say he's my biological sperm donor. Nobody uses that language because the truth is, even though he's a scoundrel, right, he's still your biological father. So that's my point, is that doesn't change even though he, in his social interaction with you or lack thereof, he forfeited that relationship. He's not your dad. He's not your daddy. He's not your father. The man who adopted you is.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying, but the new guy is not the biological father. He earned that title through his behavior. And I'm thinking about trans people who might not be making any biological or genetic claims. They might simply be saying, born a man, 100% male anatomy, but I function in society and as perceived as a woman.
But see, that's that's another dimension of this, but I would propose that that's not really true, because even though there are people who can, quote unquote, pass for the opposite sex, very few of them can, very few. And so even though in the mind of the person, let's say a man who's presenting himself as a woman, even if in his own mind that's what he thinks, and he imagines that other people think the same way. They don't. They recognize, even if they won't admit it, even if they're, you know, even if they're loath to admit it, even the category trans woman means this is a man who has changed into a woman. He's not really a woman. That's the difference. In other words, that whether it's self-assigned or assigned by society, this role that you play, that's different from who you really are or what you really are. And that's what I meant earlier by saying your biological father can never change that status as being your biological father. He may have no place in your life. So I see your analogy, but I don't think the analogy works in this regard.
But someone, there's a big difference between a trans person who's making biological claims, who I am at a biological genetic level as a woman, even though it says I was born a man. That's mm-hmm. one thing. But if a trans person, let's say they fully do pass in our society as a woman, okay. and they correctly recognize, they correctly identify that how they are functioning in that society is as a woman.
I would dispute that that's a correct identification. I would say it's an incorrect identification to say that just because people haven't figured out that I'm really a man because I look like a woman and I act like a woman, number one, it doesn't make you a woman. And in essence, it's a form of deception. You're pretending to be something you're not, and everyone's fooled, and they all think it's real, but it's really not.
You could imagine a situation in which your whole community knows it and was there for it. No one's confused about it in your community, but they still, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. treat you as if you are a woman. That is your social role in that community. There's no misperception. There's no deception involved.
Okay. So in this scenario, fair enough, Joshua. So in this scenario, I thought you were saying that you could pass and nobody knew it. So in this scenario, you could pass, but everybody does know that you're not actually a woman. You're a trans woman in terms of how we would talk about it now. So is that the scenario? Sure. Okay. So all that
I think there's something analogous here to the AI problem where at some point it's probably going to be able to pass as human-like or lifelike. It's just not there yet. I think trans people might be in that same uncanny valley.
Fair enough. Okay. But do you see the inherent flaw in your argument? So to be able to pass for somebody, for something, doesn't mean you are that thing. You can't change your genetic makeup. You can't change
exactly.
the fact that...
Social status.
Well, hang on. You can't change the fact that you're... I'm assuming you're a man. Just talking with you. You present as a man. You could not deliver a baby because your pelvis is incapable of allowing a child to pass through. First of all, you don't have a womb. Right. A woman's pelvis has the opening there for a baby to pass through. So even just at those levels, we can say objectively someone is male or female. Just because you can pass for something doesn't mean you are that thing.
You keep saying pass as something. I don't think it's passing. If you're passing to me implies you're pretending to be something you're not. You're pretending you have certain body parts or certain brain chemistry or certain bone density, and mm-hmm. you don't actually have any of those attributes. You don't actually have a womb. That's one thing. But if society is just saying, hey, we have these social roles, male and female, and you are actually functioning in one of those roles as society defines it, not as it's defined by biology or genetics,
right.
then I don't think you're passing as anything you're not. You're just accepting a role, and society does not care about your chromosomes or your genitalia.
Well, a lot of people in society do care.
Because, yeah, most of us do, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Most of us. So let me ask you this question, Joshua. I'm going to assume for a moment that you're heterosexual. And I'm not trying to say that as an insult.
I'm not.
You're not. Are you homosexual?
Yeah.
Okay, so what if... So you're attracted to men, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what if a woman presented herself as a man, took extra hormones, facial hair, whatever, and you and he, quote unquote, are becoming friends and you're thinking, well, this maybe might lead somewhere.
I'd be
horrified. And what if you found out that she's actually a woman?
I'd be horrified. Yeah.
Why? Why?
Well, because I am one of those people for whom the genitalia, for almost any gay man, that's not going to be a trivial issue.
Okay. I would say it's true for heterosexual men as well.
Yeah, for almost every women too, yeah.
Yeah, so let's say you have, okay, I'm married and been married a long time, but just to kind of in the abstract, if I weren't married and I were looking for a wife and I found somebody who seemed to be a very pretty young woman and I wanted to get closer to her, get to know her, find out more about her, and then she reveals to me that she's not really a she, she's a he, I too would be horrified. And I too would say, this is absolutely not what I want. You fooled me, but there's no way we are going to go forward. I mean, this sounds like that would be your reaction if it were a woman presenting as a man, right?
Yeah, but that's a case in which those specific details about genitalia and brain chemistry and all that, those details are highly salient and relevant. I don't think that's true when I'm checking out at the grocery store and deciding whether I'm going to call the cashier he or she. Like, then I don't care about any of those things. And most,
well, when do you ever try to imagine a scenario in the grocery store checkout line where you would refer to, you're talking to the cashier in the third person? We typically say you know.
Okay, so if I'm trying to tell the manager, hey, she did a really good job, or he did a really good job, or take a better case, take bathrooms or like private areas for women.
Yeah.
There, all that really matters is appearances. Women aren't getting uncomfortable based on having studied the chromosomes of the people in there. They're getting uncomfortable based on secondary sex characteristics and things like that.
How about primary sex characteristics like height and weight, muscle mass, 5 o'clock shadow? It's more than just secondary sex characteristics. It's that, and this is getting back to the issue of passing, even though the term maybe is not the term you would choose. The reason that women have a right to not have men of any type in the restroom is because men can pose a threat to women and children. And so if a woman recognizes this is a dude dressed up as a woman, I don't want to be in here with that guy. I mean, everybody understands that, even if they won't admit it, they understand it because the sexes are different.
So what would you do with the case of, say someone's born female, but then they go
you
through
mean a woman.
Kind of...
You mean a woman, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Whichever one. Let's say somebody's born a woman and they go through basically a medical replication of male puberty. They get all the surgeries and everything. And then they commit some horrific crimes that they could only have committed because of all the work they've done. Now, are we going to send that?
I mean, altering your genitalia somehow enables you to commit a crime. What kind of crime could you commit?
I mean, rape. Like, if you had bottom surgery and then raped somebody.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that person is using their kind of fake male anatomy in that way. That has to be a danger to other.
Well, that person is a woman.
Men's
okay.
facilities.
Okay.
Yeah. But wouldn't you want them to go to a men's facility?
No, I would want a woman who is, even though she's presenting as a man, if she's caught and tried and convicted, to go to a women's prison.
Even if she's like 6 feet tall, you know, they've just, she's a kind of medical miracle. She looks like the Hulk or something. Put her in the facility with women.
Yes.
Even though she has seemingly male genitalia and
yes.
they're all terrified of her.
Yes. Or put her in solitary confinement. I mean, if she poses that much of a threat to the inmate population. But if you reverse the scenario, we hear horror stories all the time of men who consider themselves trans women who commit a crime and are put in a woman's prison. And guess what? Women are getting pregnant. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's one of those situations where when you incarcerate people, if you incarcerate a man in a woman's prison, you're going to have problems. It doesn't, of course, mean that there aren't other problems that exist with all men in a prison. That certainly is a rampant problem. I'm not saying that that's not a problem.
Right.
But it would be another problem that's unnecessary to foist upon these women inmates if you were to put an actual man who dresses like a woman with them. And for the sake of the woman who's presenting herself as a man, I mean, it's inevitable, if you ask me, that once these men figure out she's not a man, she's a woman, she's going to have other problems on her hands. How about this, Joshua? I would love to talk to you again, and I want to give you a standing invitation to call in again. If you'd like to do that, I would love to give you more time. Okay.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I will.
Okay, good. Thank you. This entire episode of the Patrick Madrid Show is on the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio app is completely free and updated daily with fresh articles, podcasts, and prayers. Don't delay. Download the app today. And thanks for listening.